This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com. You didn't notice, we're taking opportunity for this week to recognize Independence Day, a historical phenomenon that revolutionized the world. As you all know, I occasionally like to include a word of humor in my messages to help draw us back, to wake us up, to get back into the message. Independence Day, however, is a very important holiday and must be taken seriously. In fact, if you look into it, Independence Day doesn't have any knock-knock jokes, if you look into it. And why is that, you may ask? Well, that's because freedom rings. Now, Independence Day is a day that is another one of these days that is rapidly losing its meaning. For once, Americans enjoyed and rejoiced at her institution as a nation, now they decry her decrees and reject her creeds. And we're left with a day in summer to enjoy a barbecue and play some horseshoe. But there are reasons from the Bible. There are reasons as Christians why she must be maintained. There are reasons why she must be upheld as she was instituted. When we think of the word liberty, we think of America. She is the land of the free and the home of the brave. As you heard sung this morning, he died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free. Her unalienable rights given to the human race is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the reason why liberty is so closely connected to America is because liberty is found in the Bible. This is why America, as instituted, and Christianity and a Judeo-Christian worldview have been so closely linked. It's a fact. It's inescapable. But someone might say, wait a minute, America legislates the separation of church and state. And that is true. But this was to keep the government from interfering with the church. In history, and in today, in other countries all over the world, a church that is owned and regulated by the government is usually a godless one. China has a Christian church owned by the government, but they choose to take certain books out of the Bible that they don't want people to read. A church separate from the state, not owned by the government, is a free one. And the first of the Bill of Rights says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, keep the government out of the church. But does that mean that the government can't be influenced by Christian morals and values? Certainly not. Elected officials are free to hold to a particular religion and exercise it, unless it produces physical harm to another person. So Christians are free, because of the separation of church and state, Christians are free to influence their public institutions, their libraries, their town halls, their public schools and universities. But liberty is a biblical value. When we think of liberty, we think of America, but liberty is a biblical value. Liberty is something good. Liberty is something godly. That is to say, liberty is derived from the character of God. Because of who God is, liberty is. And liberty is good. So it makes sense, therefore, why Paul can emphatically say, you, my brethren, have been called to liberty. Anytime a Christian comes across liberty in any age, in any time, you're called to it. It is commanded by God for you to embrace liberty. And yes, I understand, in the historical context, Paul is writing to the church of Galatia. And he's writing to Jews who were saved by Jesus, and they were tempted to think that in order to be saved, they had to fall back into the old covenant dietary laws and regulations and observing certain festivals. And Paul is saying, you've been liberated from the Old Testament because it's fulfilled, from the Old Covenant because it's fulfilled in Christ. And so there is that historical context, but as is often the case with God's Word, you have this historical context that was written to a certain people in a certain time, but you have an eternal truth and you have a universal application. We don't have to be Christians in Galatia in the first century for this to apply to us. It is a universal application. Christian, you have been called to liberty. Liberty is good, liberty is godly, and as a child of God, you've been called to it. You and I have been called to uphold liberty as something virtuous, something valuable, something right. And if a Christian rejects liberty, they're rejecting something holy. Whenever you or I hear, there's liberty over there, somewhere, right there, there's liberty. We say, go to it. It's good and it's right. And that's why we say, I'm an American, I uphold liberty, because liberty is something good. The liberty that is represented by the flag of America is a small chunk out of the large diamond of liberty found in God. That is why I'm a patriot. Because I support an ideology that holds to liberty. I'm in. The moment this flag no longer represents liberty, I'm out. I don't see that happening. Now, some say you shouldn't be patriotic. Our home is in heaven. Some say, you know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Or they say, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 and 38, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They didn't have a home in this earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against your soul. You're a sojourner. You're a pilgrim. Your home is heaven. You shouldn't be patriotic. Our home is in heaven. True. My home is in heaven. But God put me in America, and America as an institute, it is heavenly. So I'm going to embrace where God temporarily put me as much as I see it as good. The day I read her founding documents and discover that the very essence and core of values of her institution is of the devil, I'll take this wonderful red, white, and blue flag tie off, which I don't see that happening. So you shouldn't be patriotic, they say. You're a citizen of heaven. You know, they'd say, who in here is an American citizen and loves it? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're an American citizen in here and you love it, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're a citizen of heaven. Americans won't be in heaven, only Christians. You shouldn't be an American citizen and love it. You're a Christian. I'd like to press that logic a little bit here, okay? I want to press that logic. Who in here has been or is a husband? Raise your hand. Okay? You shouldn't be a husband, you're a man. Husbands won't be in heaven, only men. Who in here has been or is a wife? Raise your hand. You should be ashamed of yourself. You shouldn't be a wife, you're a woman. Wives won't be in heaven, only women will be. You get the point? There won't be Americans in heaven because America won't exist. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be an American now. Liberty is good. Just because there won't be wives and husbands in heaven doesn't mean that you shouldn't be a wife or a husband now. That is good. It is something God has created. Again, as long as what America represents and the ideologies are found in God's word, embrace her. Why? Because you were called to liberty. You were called to liberty. What is liberty? What is liberty and why are we called to it? Well, in our text, Paul tells us what liberty is not before he tells us what liberty is. The best way to understand what liberty is, you can look at what it's not. I remember when we did our series on the doctrine of grace, remember? Back when we looked into the topic of grace, I think the first sermon that we preached, the message was called, What Grace Is Not. And that's a good way to understand what something is when you look at what something is not. So what is not liberty? Verse 13, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Liberty is not being released to do whatever. That's not liberty. Liberty is not being freed, released to do whatever. Liberty is not lawlessness. You are not called to lawlessness. For example, peaceful protesting is a part of our liberty in a fallible country. America is fallible. And so things can go wrong, and things have gone wrong in the time, and peaceful protesting, that's part of our liberty. We're free to. But rampant rioting, looting, destroying, defacing, stealing, murdering is lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Liberty is not lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. You can't mistake that connection there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus says, Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, he says. What bothers me is that people are calling lawlessness liberty, suggesting that a society remove law, become lawless, remove law enforcement. That's not liberty. Removing law is not liberation. It looks like liberty. If you just take it at its face value, you almost get the feeling liberated and set free. It looks like it, but if you follow it, if you let it grow, you'll realize that it's not true liberty. I love gardening. As you all know, all you have to do is step outside and turn to your right and you'll see. One of my favorite flowers is the sunflower. I love the joy of seeing the sunflower come up and burst open in yellow or orange or whatever colors, beautiful joy. There's this plant I've come to discover. I call it the pseudo sunflower. I know what a sunflower looks like when it peeps out of the soil. And it's this little green plant that comes up, and by all appearances, it looks like a sunflower. It's got the four little green leaves that spread out. It looks like it, but let it grow and see what happens. You'll never, ever see a yellow flower on that plant. It's a weed. And I've got this thing called a garden weasel. Okay. It's a pole and it's got tines on the bottom. And when I see these rows of the pseudo sunflowers, I just go to town and get rid of them. My wife, she likes taking the weeds out one by one. It's comforting and stuff. I don't have time for that. I just gotta do it all at once with this garden weasel. Get rid of it. Pseudo sunflower. It looks like a sunflower, but it's not. It looks like liberty to say lawlessness, get rid of the law, but it's not, because liberty is not lawlessness. Paul is saying, you're called to freedom from the Old Testament dietary, ceremonial, festival regulations because they're fulfilled in Christ. But you are not called to lawlessness. You are not free to eat where you want, watch what you want, sleep with who you want, read what you want. Why? Because liberty is not lawlessness. 1 Peter chapter 2, 15 and 16. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free. Yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. You're free, but you're a slave to God, in a sense. And I know that sounds a bit, there's a bit of confusion there. It sounds a little bit confusing. Let's clarify. If liberty is not lawlessness, if liberty is not being released to do whatever, then what is liberty? Liberty is not being released to do whatever. Liberty is being freed to do what is right. Liberty is being released to do what is right. Look at verse 13 again in Galatians 5. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's what true liberty is. It is the enablement to freely love. It is the release to do what is right. And this should be easy for us to understand, but it's hard in our day because Satan has created a lot of pseudo-sunflowers in our world. Satan has usurped the biblical terms. People hear free love. Free love. And they think that means love whoever, whatever, whenever, however. That's lawlessness. Free love is the ability to love within the bounds of truth, within the bounds of doing what is right. We have this Adrian Rogers calendar in our bathroom. Every day has a quote from Adrian Rogers. You flip the calendar and you read it. This recent one was very, very eye-opening to me. He says this, quote, "Living a pure life means surrendering to Jesus Christ. But some people don't want to surrender because they say they want to be free." What if a train said, I don't want to run on these tracks. I want to be free. Then off through the meadow it would go. What if the kite said, I want to be free. I don't want to be tied to a string. The string breaks and it goes down. What if a tree said, I don't want to be planted in the earth. I want to be free. Then it is jerked up from the earth and dies. Everything that is truly free functions best when it functions as God made it. God made you to know Him and to love Him, end quote. So liberty is the release to do what is right, the enablement to freely love. So what is love? If Satan has usurped this term, what is love? Is wanting and doing the best for God and for others. And what is the best? To ride on the train tracks. To be attached to the string. That is a track the train may freely ride on. The string the kite may freely fly on. It is the dirt that the tree may freely grow in. Liberty is the release to do what is right, not to do whatever. Liberty is the enablement to freely love without lawlessness. I'm not making this up. Paul explains that. Read on in verse 14. For all the law, All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Liberty is not getting rid of the law. It is finding fulfillment in the law through the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Does that mean lawlessness? No. That means that you're liberated to freely do that which is right. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just also I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But then someone says, against such things there is no law. Isn't that lawlessness? There is no law. Isn't that lawlessness? It's not lawlessness, because if you are walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is working through you, and you're producing the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law to condemn you. Against those things, there is no law. You are not under the condemnation of the law, because love fulfills the law. Love obeys and submits to the law. Love rides on the track. Love flies in the sky in a string. Love grows deep in the earth. There is a true love presented in the Bible that is so different from what the world presents. It is a liberation to do what is the best for others. And what is the best for others? To do God's will. To uphold God's truth and to not compromise, because that is what is the best for the human race. Therefore, when America said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, she meant, according to my law, which is according to God's law, you are enabled to do what is right. You are enabled to freely love in my land. You are not enabled to be lawless. You are not enabled to do what is wrong. You are enabled. You are freed. You are at liberty to do what is right. It's from the Bible. Listen to this. Liberty can exist without America, but America cannot exist without liberty. Liberty can exist without America, but America cannot exist without liberty. And you are called to liberty. You are called to liberty. It's the land of the free. America is a free land. But I wonder sometimes when I'm shopping at garden centers, if she is a free land, why is her dirt so expensive? That stuff is expensive. Listen, you don't have to be a patriot. You don't have to live here. You don't have to wear red, white, and blue. You don't have to remember her history. But her history is something good. Her ideology is something good. Her founding documents and initial laws and rights are something good. And Christians support good things, right things. And as long as I believe that God desires for me to live in this land, I'm going to hold America up as somewhere worth living in, somehow worth pursuing, and something worth keeping. If God calls me to India someday, then to India I must go. But as far as I know, God made no mistake when He created me in 1991 in the smallest state in America, perhaps Rhode Island's smallest nobody. I don't believe God made a mistake. We are living in a country that currently lets us freely worship God. Are we ashamed of that? We are living in a country that currently lets us freely make a living. Are we ashamed of that? We are living in a country that enables us to freely, that liberates us to freely raise and love a family. Are we ashamed of that? We are living in a country that currently lets us freely love one another as defined. Are we ashamed of that? I am not ashamed to live here. I am ashamed of what some of her leaders are trying to do. I am ashamed of some of her history. She's not perfect. But in and of herself, as she was made to be, I love her. And I am not ashamed of her. Are you? We've been called to liberty. And liberty is the freedom, the release to do what is right. But that is not possible without the work of God in a human heart. America's liberty is just a small piece of the great liberty found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is where the liberty came from. The human heart is bound, is captive in lawlessness and sin, bound with unbreakable chains. And Jesus Christ is the key to unlock the chains and set free those who are bound in liberty. As He died to make men holy. The human race is under the condemnation of the law, under the condemnation of God's righteousness, bound by sin, guilty in His sight. But the love of God has come to liberate mankind. And by dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and coming into each one of you that have been born again, He has liberated you from sin. So that there is no longer a law condemning you. You are free to serve God. You are free to serve one another. You have been released. You have been liberated. Do you know that? Do you know that you have been set free? Or do you feel deep down inside that you are chained, that you are bound fast to sin and condemnation, that the guilt has shown you that you are under God's judgment? Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. If you feel you are dead, Jesus has come that you may have life. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Bible says that the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Are you set free? Are you free indeed? Come to Him now. In the quietness of your hearts, you can accept Him. Accept His liberation. My Christians, my brothers and sisters, as we move forward, we plan on continuing in Luke. And Jesus is going to preach a Sermon on the Mount. Know what He's going to preach about? True liberty. I look forward to hearing what He has to say. But the question is, have you been set free? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we enter into this communion service, let us remember how Jesus shed His blood and His body was broken to set us free. And Lord in heaven, You have placed each one of us here this morning in a country that upholds the liberty which is presented to us in that gospel truth. And I pray that You would protect her and preserve her. And help us, Lord, as lights in a dark world, to uphold and to promote the liberty of the gospel. And if anyone, Father God, listening or here this morning, wants that liberty of soul, wants that liberty of heart, I pray that they would receive it as a free gift. Lord, they can't work for it. They cannot earn it. It is a free gift. May they take it. And may you come into their hearts and break those chains. Do it now, Father in heaven. Do it during this communion table. Do it before they leave here this morning. Please, Father God, work in us. Liberate us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.